Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show.
That's kind of a John Oliver start to the show. I do like that John Oliver saying, you are with me, Laura Meeks, and we are here on Fly High Living. Our motto is Dream On, which means to find a vision, do something with your life. This, I think, is for a lot of the things that I've learned, finding a vision is so important. But once you find a vision, you got to go do something. You can't just find the vision. I've met a lot of people, coached a lot of people who are really good at making a vision, and then they wonder why it doesn't happen. And part of that is because you got to actually go out and do something. Your feet have to go do the walking before the vision manifests into life. So Dream On is our first. Fly High, which means to me, fly high means to do the best you can. The best you can with what you have available to you now. And a great story, if you've ever been hiking, Mary was hiking with a friend of hers, and she, the guy was ahead of her and said, wow, you ought to see the lake. She goes, I don't see the lake. He said, I know, you have to come up here. You're too low. So same thing in life. You got to go out and do something. And the interesting thing I find is that if you were to go out and just do something, then the next piece appears. And then you can go a little farther and a little farther. So it never shows up just like as a lottery win, bam, there it is, the whole thing. And then live adventurously. Sometimes you got to take some risk. Sometimes you got to go against the flow. Sometimes you got to listen to your heart. I'm teaching a course. Yesterday I was teaching a course on intuition and the ability for you to gather information. Information is coming into you all the time. But most of us feel that gut feel, that intuitive feel, and we think, oh, it's too risky. I'm not going to go that way. I'm just going to stick to the main path that everybody else is on. But as you know, the path that everybody else is on is most likely not the path you want to be on. You want to be on the really good path to your life, to the life that's going to make you happy. And that is a lot of what I do here at Fly High Living. That's my business. So if you want to delve in deeper, I'm always available. I have coaching programs. I have webinars. I have a whole bunch of things for you to investigate. If you're out here in the local area, I'm teaching a three-week course on the six mental faculties. And that is also a recurring show that you can see if you're out here in the valley. So all of that, flyhighliving.com. And if you want to email me, Laura@flyhighliving, if you hear me say anything that you really want. One quick note, because as I was coming back from the bank this morning, we got a phone call, and it was from my brother who's trying to find a place for his friend's daughter to stay during Coachella. Now, one has to ask oneself, hey, what is Coachella? It's a big, big music fest out here in the Palm Springs area, in Coachella, hence the name. But as you are aware, there is this coronavirus that's going around, and they canceled Coachella this morning and moved it into the fall. Which brings me to my next thing. How scared should we be about this coronavirus? Let's take it back to the principles that we know. And the principles that we know are the world is manifested by your thinking. So if you are thinking scary, scary thoughts, and that the coronavirus is coming to get you, then it's probably going to attract it. That's law of attraction. So I'm not saying not to be cautious. I wash your hands. I'm starting to wash my hands 20 seconds every time you do it. Somebody said, I think you have to sing happy birthday. I sing hallelujah, which is the first verse of hallelujah, which gives me, I think, about 20 seconds. So that, be prudent. Do the things that you need to do. Wash your hands. Stay away from people. But the other piece of this is you can't stop living. And I've mentioned this only because in my line of work, where we're building visions and building lives that you truly love to live, you can't stop living. You know, there are people out there that are so afraid they stay in their house, in their room, and never do anything. And in so many ways, and many of us live our life that way. You know, we do the safe thing, the thing that makes everybody, you know, get a safe job and get a safe retirement and a safe this and that. And next thing you know, you get to the end of your life. One of the things that I'm always amazed at is that when you do the research and you ask people what happened in their life and what did they regret most, the thing that they regret most is the things they never did. So I'm here to encourage you to take some risks. I'm not saying hang around large crowds. I'm just saying that you can take prudent measures and still go to class. I still had people in my class yesterday. I think one or two left or didn't show up because of the virus. But again, if you're healthy and you're okay and you're young, wash your hands and just go out and live life. So talk about living life. Today, our guest is Ginny Weissman. Ginny is here. I have to say, Ginny's been a friend for a long time. We've done a lot of things together. She's got some really exciting things that are going on. She has been in entertainment. She's worked in producing documentaries. She's written a couple of really fabulous books I'll let her tell you about. But she has lived a life of fun and adventure. And it has taken an interesting twist as she has gotten out here in the desert. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about. So, Ginny, say hi to the – welcome aboard.
Hi. Laura, thank you so much for having me.
We're here. So fill in the introduction part. Tell us a little bit about where you've been and what you've done.
Okay, thank you. And again, it's an honor to be here with you and with your – listeners. Yes, I have lived a life of risk. My joke is I don't need to go bungee jumping because I bungee jump every day. That's kind of how I feel.
I haven't bungee jumped. I'm not sure I'm ready.
Right, but every day I've been playing a song from Wicked called Defying Gravity. And of course, I sent it to you because of you being a pilot.
Yeah.
I just feel that that's what I'm doing every day is defying gravity. And no one's going to hold me down, which is one of the lines in the song. I have been very blessed with a very diverse and very interesting and I would say a very accomplished career. I don't know anybody else. I've never met another person that has done the variety of things that I have. And started with a newspaper editor. I was the youngest newspaper editor at the Chicago Tribune at the age of 24, let alone being a woman. At 24, editor of the TV Week magazine, which took me into a whole career in entertainment. I wrote about television, then I wrote for television. Oddly enough, I wrote a script in 1986 for Highway to Heaven, Michael Landon's show. And because the WGA, the Writers Guild, has to continue to pay you while that show is on the air, I got a $25.79 check the other day for a script I wrote in 1986. Now, if I had only written 100 or more of those, you know, that would make significant money. But the fact that I got a check almost 40 years later is pretty exciting. Anyway, I wrote for television, wrote documentaries, A&E, the History Channel, Public Television. I even got an Emmy nomination for one that I did. Written a book on the Dick Van Dyke Show, on the Lawrence Welk Show, ran a Mind, Body, Spirit publishing company, published 16 books, many of which were carried in the bookstore at the center that we go to for spiritual living. I started a entertainment organization called Windy City West when I lived in LA to bring the Chicagoans together who were in the entertainment industry, and we did that for nearly 25 years. And then when I came out to the desert in 2008, I took what was my volunteer position at a previous church and the pet ministry and created as the executive director of pet ministry at the Center for Spiritual Living, which just celebrated its 11th anniversary last month. And very exciting. That means we're doing it this Sunday. Every third Sunday of the month, we bring pets, and you've been and Annie have been volunteers. We do what we call the ooh and ah factor, where we carry the pets that we have up for adoption on the patio through the sanctuary at the end of the service, so people ooh and ah and come out and are interested in adopting. So
good
we'll be
marketing.
Doing that. Good marketing. So we'll do that. You've been a new one hour, right? You've carried them through the sanctuary. You know what I'm talking about. So this Sunday from 10 a.m. to noon, we'll have pets on the patio, three or four, usually dogs, mostly dogs. Cats aren't too crazy about being out in the patio and having 500 people go by and look at them. So we kind of do those private adoptions for cats. But the dogs love it. And we've gotten over 300 adoptions in the past 11 years. And speaking of that, my little one wants to get out of the bedroom there.
We can't hear it, so.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so.
This is the fun of live radio.
I know, that's a fun
Everything is going on back here.
Yeah, she was my first adoption. Yeah, she was a foster for the weekend, and we call it foster failure, you know, when you have them. Yeah. My joke is I'd pick me for a mommy too, you know. I am gonna have to open that door and let her out if she's gonna
start working. Well, so as she
is. This is all part of being part of the pet ministry.
This is part of life ministry.
This is live intelligence. Okay, live intelligence. Long story short, so you want me to get into how all this got to me where I am today, right? Okay, so when you tell people that you've written books and written television shows and, you know, have started organizations. I'm an executive director of a nonprofit. They think you're living in a mansion in Beverly Hills. You know that's what people think. You're set. You're going to retire. I'm certainly at the retirement age, senior lady here. And you know, as things happen in 2008, when I decided to move out here, it was because my life had turned on a dime. Went back to Chicago to take care of my mother, companion care, so she passed away at 90. While I was producing and traveling and all that. And then in a short period of time, I lost my mother, my brother, my sister, two dogs, and my home, all within 6 years. And I have no children, I was married a long time ago, and if it was gonna be, it was up to me. So I wanted to start my life over in Palm Springs, which I did in 2008, because the weather in Chicago and I never got along. Not in the winter, not in the summer. Too hot in the summer. Too cold in the winter. They'd like me to come back. They'll have to enclose it, and then I'll consider.
I go back in the summer, right?
No. Too humid in the summer. Too many mosquitoes. Chicago is a beautiful city. Beautiful city. It just needs to be enclosed, in my opinion. So so I moved out here. Don't mind the summer. I love the summer here. I'm hot weather does not bother me. And I started my life over again by going to the Center of Spiritual Living. Started my nonprofit, and have family out here, which I consider you and Annie part of my family out here. My grandmother always had an expression that I didn't understand as a child: nothing so bad happens that something good doesn't come out of it. And while I'd love to have my family back, love to have my home back, all that, the miracle, and I like to say, show me the miracle here. The miracle that came out of it is I started a wonderful new life in. Palm Springs. Now, living in Palm Springs is expensive. And when you're in the entertainment industry and you're over 40, that's pretty well over.
Yeah, especially as a woman.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Especially as a woman.
As a woman. Thank you very much. I'm everybody's grandmother in entertainment right now. And my publishing company certainly sold books, but we never had a runaway bestseller. My books sold, but they were never a runaway bestseller. My documentaries did not produce residuals because they were a buyout at the time. So here I am as a senior woman trying to not even retire. I'm far from retired, but just trying to make a life and keep a roof over my head and my pet's head out here. And it occurred to me that was getting more difficult all the time. So I'm not an excuses person. I'm a solution person.
I like solutions.
Yeah, so I found the solution, and that's what I'd like to talk about. So,
well, no, before you run off to that,
okay.
One of the things that you know, Center of Spiritual Living, Ernest Holmes, that whole theory is all part of what I teach and what I work on, And in the dream on, fly high, live adventurously, a couple of things that you've said so far that I want to kind of take a look at. One is that your life turned on a dime. And, you know, again, even if I went back to the coronavirus and said, you know, there to be absolutely safe, you could hunker down and just stay at home. But you have to live a life, and you can't just avoid every possible risk. And life has its own risks. And I think one of the challenges that I face in the coaching world is that there are a lot of people that my analogy is this is that people think that the road of life has a cliff on one side and a wall on the other, and you're on this road. And if you just hug the wall, you'll be safe. But what I've learned is that life really is just a curvy road with a cliff on both sides. And you have to drive down the road. You have to know where you want to go, pick the road you want to be on, and drive down the road. And there's no just easy stay on the safe side always side to life. And so a lot of the things that you have done, you got to a spot where life turned on a dime. And, you know, the six major events, or, you know, a lot of major events in 6 years, was a big blow to the psyche. And I think a lot of people would have just crumbled and fallen to the side of the road, given that obviously your work and your beliefs have carried you much further down the road. So part of that, tell me about when you're deep in that, oh my God, my life is crumbling, what lifts you up when you get to that spot?
What we believe in the center and what I came from, which was the Unity Church in Chicago, which is very similar. I like to compare them to the Catholic Church and the Episcopal Church. You know, it's Unity and Centers for Spiritual Living are very similar. As our minister, Dr. Joe, likes to say, there's a little more Jesus in Unity. That's that's the difference.
I've been in both, and I like them both.
Yeah, I do too. And they both, you know, have the same message that you're talking about here. What carried me through is the deep knowledge always that we're on a path, we have a purpose, and that there is a miracle everywhere if you look for it. Yes, again, six years of major events like that, yes, that's enough to make you want to buckle at your knees. But I had no choice. You know, I had no children, no family, basically. I have a niece in Chicago and some cousins, but nobody that was going to take me in. I had kids right now. I might be knocking on their spare bedroom door, but I don't have that option. Yeah, please clear out that bedroom.
I told my kids, go out there. Go outside and play.
Yeah. So if it was going to be, is going to be up to me, as they say. And when I arrived here in the last day of June of 2008, I thought I knew people here because I had two sets of friends, couples I knew professionally who take me out to dinner and everything. I get here and I call them on July 1st and say, I'm here. And they say, we're not, because I didn't know people left the desert in the summer. So I'm here by myself. And of course, finding my church was the first thing. Terry Co. Whitaker was a client of mine at the time. I sold her book. I was a literary agent. She sent me to the center. And I was able to continue the teachings and the mindset and the attitude that I needed to go, okay, I have to build a whole new life here. I'm going to find my peeps at the center, which I did, and created the pet ministry when I proposed it. Dr. Joe said, give it a try. 11 years later, we're still doing it. It turned everything around.
That's another piece. So there's kind of two pieces there. One is the statement, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And it's interesting. I guess I have always kind of been on that side of the road in the sense that I have always been very independent. And in my life, I've almost been on the other side. It's like, don't you even try to guide me. I'm doing it myself. And in a lot of ways, when I was in college, this is kind of an interesting focus on that, because I think the ending of what I'm going to say is that, yes, it is up to you as a person to have a vision, but there's nothing, literally nothing that you do on this planet that you actually do by yourself. There, this planet exists because we all are here. You know, one of the funny joke where God is talking to a scientist, and the scientist says, you know, we don't really need you anymore as a God, because I can make everything that you can make, I can make as a scientist. And God says, oh, that's interesting. Well, show me how you would create life. And the scientist reaches down to get some dirt, and he goes, oh, that's my dirt. Get your own. I was like, yeah, you can do everything you can, but you got to use the stuff that's already here. And in so many ways, that's a great allegory to the fact that, yeah, I mean, I feel in my bones that a lot of the stuff that I've done is kind of like, you know, I've chosen a path and I want to go in a particular direction. But in hindsight, even my flying, which I, majority of the stuff I did by myself, my mom still helped with a loan to get me started. There were a lot of people along the way that helped get me to pilot training. There were a lot of people that helped me get through pilot training. So there were a lot of people involved. So I do think that for the listeners, yes, it's important that you have to have a vision. You have to go out and do it. But we're going to do it with others. Now, the other thing that you found was a vision. So I'm going to say 40 days in the desert, you're wandering around, and then all of a sudden you got it, that tiny piece that said pet ministry. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start. Now, think about this. There wasn't a pet ministry in our center. So tell me about that. I know I'm going to start a pet ministry. That, because I think in so many ways that was a piece that has really moved you forward.
It has. And that's my purpose. And that's my passion. You know, we all have to have a burning passion. And saving the pets is my passion. Having no children, and I really wish I had grandchildren now, that's where I, you know, have to, everybody has to put their love somewhere. And that's where I love to where I get the most love and put my love. But again, that, you know, Dr. Joe said, try it. I tried it, and we just had cake on the patio 2 weeks ago saying, it worked, you know.
It worked. So, it worked.
yeah. But during that time, in addition to bringing the pets to the patio and adopting them out, I certainly came into finding out a lot about people's lives. We have a huge senior population at the center. A lot of seniors adopt the pets. I try to adopt out senior pets, of course, to seniors, which is a much better match than a puppy. And they do need to be saved, because they're the ones that never make it out of the shelter if they don't get adopted. So that's been our focus. And during this time, I identified two pressing needs in the Valley. Homes for senior pets and homes for seniors with pets that's affordable. And we have affordable housing here, 2 to 3 year waiting lists, and now the waiting lists are closed. And when you're a senior to begin with, 2 to 3 waiting lists is a long time. And then when they tell you it's even closed, then what do you do? So we have seniors becoming homeless here all the time, living in their cars. I've had people call me saying I'd rather live in my car than give up my pet. Or they're looking for a place to live and say, I can't find a place that'll take my pet or pets and that they can afford. You have to have first rent. You have to have last month's rent. And you have to have a $300 to $500 pet deposit. Even if people are getting $1,500 or whatever from Social Security, it makes it totally prohibitive. Yeah. So again,
let me stop you there real quick.
Okay.
Because we're coming up, believe it or not, we're coming up to the break.
Wow.
I know.
Flies with you, Laura.
Wow.
Everything flies with you.
How did that happen? I have a special thing on time control. Here's a couple of things. One is that, audience, stay with us, because part of what you haven't heard yet is that her vision started with the pet ministry. Remember walking up the hill to see the lake? if you're way down below, you can't see the lake. You have to get a little higher, which means you have to take a couple steps. So here is somebody who was going through the 40 days, came out with an idea. I'm going to work on this little thing called pet ministry. And with that little idea, she built a pet ministry that has lasted 11 years. But there's more to the story, because she is now in a position where she's seen another need, and she is on the verge of bringing in a great new idea for to handle this challenge of what do you do if you're a senior trying to live in your later life, because it is really a challenge. And I've read an article yesterday in The Week, which points out how incredibly hard it is to get a rent below $800. So we're going to talk all about that. If they need to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
At Ginny at GinnyWeissman.com is my website, my and my email. And so GinnyWeissman.com is the website, and Ginny at GinnyWeissman.com is my email. It's spelled GinnyWeissman, and I'd love to hear from everybody.
Yeah, and you're for those that are, this is a real situation. I know a lot of listeners are in a situation like this. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that, and we will have a way to post how to get a hold of Ginny, because this is a really neat concept. So with that, hang on. Don't go away. Stay on the radio, and we will be right back. This is Laura Meeks on The Laura Meeks Show.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day. Two very important and life-changing words, I am. I have an alphabet game I wanted to share with you today. Start with the letter A and come up with as many positive words as you can think of and place those affirmative I am words before them. For example, I am abundant. Move to the letter B and do the same thing. I am beautiful, and so on. This requires you to actually focus on coming up with positive words and learn to state your affirmations with conviction, validation, and focus. Begin to say them numerous times a day. Learn to say them with feeling and belief, and you will begin to see your confidence, your focus, and your self-worth evolve. Hope you have a beautiful, successful day, and I'll see you next time.
The vibration of change, that magical place where life shifts from struggle to ease, from stagnation to forward movement, from old ways of being to new ways of becoming. If you're like I am, it can be rather elusive to get there, but when you are in it, you feel it down to your very core, don't you? And it can positively affect everything in your life, from your relationships to your health and well-being, from your career path to your abundance. From the quality of that inner connection to the fullness of your self-expression. On the Christine Upchurch Show, we explore ways to get into that vibration of change with experts in the fields of consciousness, psychology, spirituality, health, healing, and science. Join me, Christine Upchurch, every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on KKNW AM 1150 and Transformation Talk Radio, and learn new ways to step into your vibration of change.
Hey, how's it going? If it's stressful or just plain exhausting, New Light Living is here to ask, is this the way you want to live? Join me, your intuitive spiritual life coach and host, Erica Sullivan, every week on New Light Living. Discover the power of creative tools to start living every day as your ideal dream day. See your life in the new light. To learn more, visit newlightliving.com.
Hi, this is Laura Meeks. You're back on the Laura Meeks Show. Twice a month, we get together with some of the greatest people and the greatest ideas. Our motto is dream on, fly high, and live adventurously. If you are out there hunkered down because of the coronavirus, I'm hoping that at least you're here on the radio with us so that you can at least hear what's going on. As I said in the beginning of the show, you got to live life. Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, was on TV this morning. And basically what he was saying was, yeah, there's a lot of things. You know, we canceled the PNB Paravas tennis tournament. 500,000 people come into our valley for that. Those guys aren't coming now. They just announced that they're going to cancel two Coachellas and a Stagecoach, which are three weekends in April, which bring in millions of people into the valley. They're not coming now. And I think there is a chance that there are some of you out there that are going, oh, I better get back into my little cavern and stop. And I'm here to say one of the things that Bill de Blasio was saying is that it's got to be a balance. Life is always a balance. You know, we talked earlier about how you have to take a look at what your vision is and go out and do it. You have to actually go out and do it. And you have to live adventurously. That's the third piece of that, which means you have to take some risks to get to where you want to go. Now, I'm all about prudent. There's some very prudent guidance. We were talking during the break, you know, you got to wash your hands and then don't touch your face. But as I'm watching myself on the show, I have a video feed. I was like, oh, scratching my head. It's like, don't touch your face. And we were talking about, there is a viral video out there of a lady who's telling everybody on the news not to touch their face. And then she licks her finger to turn the page. And they're like, oh, dude, you just touched your face. You just told me not to do that. So, yes, be prudent. Wash your hands. Stay away from people that are in the midst of a flu-like symptom if they're coughing and hacking and they got a fever. Yeah, I wouldn't stick around those people. But, I was teaching class. We had plenty of healthy people. Healthy people can be around healthy people, and you don't necessarily have to worry about that you're going to die. So there's hit a balance. That's part of that. We're here talking with Ginny Weissman. If you do want to get a hold of her, and we'll post this somewhere in the side, but ginnyweissman.com is where her information is. If you missed the beginning, she had a long, very successful career, but then went through a period in her life where a lot of things happened quickly. And honestly, you can't, I'm just going to be 65 this year. I can't get to 65 with not having had some of these things happen to you. So it's not really the question of whether it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If it hasn't happened a number of times so far, you've been living in a cave. So it's going to happen. You're going to take risks, and some risks are going to win and some are going to lose, but you keep plodding ahead and doing the things. And part of the story that I want to get to with Ginny is the fact that as she's gone through these challenges, she got, you know, through the 40 days in the desert, she's like, okay, now I'm going to do something. She built a little vision. The little vision was, I'm going to start a pet ministry. This little vision turned into a bigger vision, 11 years of saving hundreds of pets. And now she's at a spot where she sees a newer vision. So with that introduction, Ginny, tell us, what is your new vision?
My new vision, Laura, is New Harmony Habitat, a sanctuary for senior people and pets. And what that means is I am looking for land in Palm Springs. I'm actually having met with the city of Palm Springs. I've got a developer on board, a construction company on board, and a product on board that's manufactured here in Indio that will allow us to build affordable, low-cost housing for seniors where we can have our pets. I can continue to save pets because hopefully there'll be more homes for them. And another whole aspect of that is that seniors are worried what happens if they go into the hospital, what happens if they die to their pets. People are going to have a community where they're buddied up, where they'll never have a concern about that. So we are making a lot of progress. It can be built so quickly that if we find land, we can have this built by the end of 2020. And that is so crucial because it is a crisis here now.
Well,
and every year that passes, it gets worse.
Yeah. Now let's talk a couple of things that we've learned. I've learned from you. And this was interesting in the article that I was reading. You know, back when we were kids, one parent could work and you could buy a house, and have a yard and a dog and a pig and fence.
That's my life.
One person could do that. And in those days, the kind of the recommendation was 30% of your income should go to housing. And that leaves you 70% to live your life and save some savings. Because remember, if you're young, you want to live, and yes, you want to go out and go to Coachella, and if it only happened in October, you want to do those things, but you also have to save some money. I mean, our kids and I have had a number of discussions about you save something, because you know someday you're going to be my age, and unless you want me to come live with you, which is becoming, we are grouping actually. Families are now back to grouping because that this is a challenge. So part of the challenge is, especially here in California, people are spending 50-60% of their income just to have a roof over their head. And again, that's starting to lead to group living. People, you have a roommate, people are grouping together so that they can afford housing. So part of the to-do is to build a house that you can be in for less than $1,000 a month. Now tell us the houses. Tell us about these little houses, because I think that this is a really neat idea.
Okay, we have a lot of casitas out here. They're called accessory dwelling units, and that's what we're envisioning here. My initial concept for New Harmony Habitat is 36 units in 18 buildings, which would be a one-bedroom and a two-bedroom with one common wall. And the material that we're making it from is soundproof, but more importantly, fireproof, moldproof, and earthquake resistant. So we're living in a very safe, you're not sitting, you know, you're not in a little shack. You're in a very secure place. And so we have a one-bedroom and a two-bedroom, and then a courtyard in the middle with a social area, barbecue tables, little doggy patch area, and then a mirror image of that across from it. So you have your own little community right there. And we want to keep in the 30% of people's incomes. Right now, we're for the purpose of raising money in our business plan, we're saying the average rent will probably be about $600 for a one-bedroom and $1,000 for a two-bedroom, which would accommodate couples and roommates, and we're willing to work with people for 30% of their income, because then they can apply to HUD for additional, you know, support. And that is well below market value here. But the most important thing is the first and the last, and the pet deposit. That's huge to get into a place. So if you can get in just for that month rent and not have to worry about all the rest of that, makes a big difference.
Yeah, well, and that's a huge, I mean, this is a huge issue. Our son and his fiance live over in Hollywood, and they have, I want to say they have 500 square feet, and it's close to 3,000 a month. Mm-hmm. I have to tell you, to counter that, my first house in Abilene, Texas. So is anybody out there in Abilene? I wish you well. I'd love that town. But I bought an 18, and this was interesting. So I'm in the Air Force. I'm making like $1,000 a month, okay? And I bought my very first house. It was 1,800 square feet, and we bought it for $36,000. So the mortgage was about $360, I think, a month. And we thought, oh my God, how are we ever going to live using a third of our income to just pay for the house? I mean, we still have to pay gas and the food, and we had a child at the time, and it's just like, oh man, that, you know, that's challenging. And now you think, man, to be in 500 square feet for $3,000. Now, I will say, realize part of that is he's in Hollywood. So
yeah, well, I lived in Hollywood.
It's got like a ritzy spot to be. But
Hollywood, yeah, in theory, it's ritzy, but, you know, walk down Sunset, you know, or under Hollywood Boulevard. Well, I lived there in the 80s when I was writing television.
It's Beverly Hills. It's not Beverly Hills.
It's not Beverly Hills or Bel Air or, you know, any of that. Yeah. But I lived in Hollywood right on the street that led up to the Hollywood sign. It's called Beachwood Drive. And in the 80s, I had a one-bedroom apartment that was $800. And I had a roommate even then. You know, I took the bedroom, she took the living room, where we switched. And that was in the 80s, it was 800. I'm sure that would be about 3,500 or 4,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's part of this. So here's kind of the challenge. And this is a piece I wanted you to talk about. So you went through the 40 days, you had the vision, you did the pet ministry, and then you find yourself in a situation where you are in an older age group and you have a limited amount of funds. And because part of what we didn't say was, is in that 40 days that there was a challenge with you, you had a home, it had equity, but by the time you got out here and the recession hit, the equity was gone. And so all of a sudden this pile that you had saved is gone. And so now here you are in a situation where you are over 60 years old and you're trying to make ends meet and you're actually working to make your rent in an age where you, in theory, you know, where there's a hope that there's a time where you don't have to work. But I think for most people and for boomers in particular, you know, we've spent so much on our kids and our house and our everything that very few people have really realistically enough money to actually live on in retirement. Most people are going to have some sort of secondary income. So I do think that this idea is great for the fact that these are in the neighborhood of 500 to 800 square foot units. So they're not
they're actually 400 to 650. Yeah.
Okay. And so you're not talking, you know, mansions, but the point being is that this offers people a place that they can live on for 30% of their income and be in a community of fellow pet owners. So to me, this is a beautiful win-win scenario. So you have people that are looking for a place, people that are in the similar situation, and all who love pets. And like you say, you know, all of a sudden you take an ambulance ride to the hospital and you're thinking, what about my pet? I'm, you know, very, this is not an unusual situation for seniors not to have family that are going to, you know, rush over to your apartment and take your dog or your cat, take care of your cat. So in so many ways, that offers this whole nother package to say, if I want to be in this community, I like pets, and you're going to team up with somebody near you so that you can say, hey, if I go into the hospital, I'll take care of your pet. And if you go in, I'll take care of your pet. So it's a huge win-win. I think this is...
It is. And I actually had a doctor tell me that he's had people in the emergency room who he knew had to be admitted for their condition, and they would not go. They had to go home and take care of that pet, and that's just not acceptable.
We've had friends, people in the center mm-hmm. that have had to do that. I can't, my water's running in my sink. I got to go home. I'm sorry, I know you need heart surgery, but I got to go back.
No, I'm kidding. It solves so many situations. And to be, you know, full disclosure here, I'm in that situation. I mean, wanting to work at this age, which is over 65, and needing to work at this age are two different things. Of course, I always want to do the pet ministry. I always want to be out in the community doing whatever. But when every month is a, oh my God, scramble to the end is not acceptable. I mean, it's
exhausting. You and I have had many a talk about how stressful this is when, you know, you were expecting, based on the career that you've had, you would think that, you know, you'd just be sitting around the condo and drinking mint juleps off the patio and looking at the view. We had, I don't know if you looked outside today, there are incredible clouds
on the mountains of
Palm Springs. It was a really a weird scenario in that we've had some rain, which we, you know, we get 5 days a year. Mm-hmm. But when the clouds left, there was just this whole group of clouds that hung or clung right to the mountain. And it was so cool. Annie took some pictures. We were downtown this morning. But now here's another piece I want to talk about because, you know, we've only got about 10 minutes left.
Wow.
Another piece I want you to talk about is that you and I have had many a discussion about how the universe works and how what appears to be your biggest challenge is actually putting you in exactly the right spot for you to do the next thing that you came down to this planet to do.
Yes.
I agree. I think you're in that spot. So tell the people at home where you are and why this habitat came up in your mind. Okay.
So if I had not lost my home in 2009, when I was out here looking for a place, I had enough equity. I was looking at places I could put down a down payment, would be comfortable with my mortgage payment, with the Social Security that was about to come, and lost it all and said, okay now. So had to keep working to pay the rent. But it wasn't until I came up with this idea, and I've been doing it for 10 years. I mean, when I think of all the rent I've paid out here, and I've fortunately have had what we would call good deals out here, I've paid easily over $200,000 in rent since I've lived here in the last 12 years, easily. And of course, I had to generate every penny of that. So to address your point, when I not only was looking at my situation, but the situations around me, and again, I'm a solution-oriented person, I said, would I have had this idea if I mean, again, we're all looking over here too. I needed help. I wanted to help other people, and I was doing that through the pets. But if I had not lost anything, everything, would I be looking at that purpose with burning desire that I'm looking at it with? Because it's my survival as well as everybody else's survival. And I said, that's the miracle. Show me the miracle here. And the miracle was that nothing so bad happened, that something good didn't come out of it. And when I lay my head down at night, I know that I have worked all day, not only just to help myself, but to help so many other people. And when you think of 49 million over 65 population here, this isn't just for the Palm Springs area, the Coachella Valley, all through California, we are in a crisis spreading across the country. This is an idea. And seniors like to live in themed communities. They're living in RV communities or motorcycle communities or artist community. The pet community is huge. So to live in a themed pet community, to people, as my tagline says, New Harmony Habitat is a dream for a pet lover and a lifesaver for senior dogs and cats.
Absolutely. And I love that. And now, so imagine, if you're a listener out there and you're thinking, okay, I'm not in Palm Springs, I'm somewhere else. Perfect. Then you need to get together with her so that you can do this too, because I honestly, I've seen the plans, and how many acres does it take for those?
It takes 2 acres to do 36 units. Cause it's going to be a retirement community. We are going to have an organic garden to help people with their food budget. We're going to have a community center. We're going to have a dog park. We're going to have a mobile vet service to come in to help with the pets. And it's going to actually be, you know, a community where people are going to be involved and help us rescue the pets. But, you know, just the idea of an organic garden, you know, for people to have to, you know, how expensive organic produce is. We're going to grow it on our own property.
Well, and in so many ways, so that, you know, the country is really looking, how can we solve this issue? And I think this is just one piece of the pie. And I do want to kind of go back to reinforce the challenge, because in my life, those of you that know my story, you know, I was a tall, white, college educated military officer and pilot. I had everything going for me. I mean, there was every door of opportunity in America. Realize I'm in America, was available to me. And then all of a sudden I'm faced with this idea that, oh, I forgot to tell you, you're transgender. And I was thinking, man, I'm going to lose everything. But in the end, I've taken that challenge and turned that around so that that's my superpower. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important for people to understand that when you feel like you've just lost everything, I mean, take a look at where Ginny was. She had had a career. You know, I mean, this story has played out in humanity over and over again. I had it all, and then I lost it. And then you think, okay, that's it. I'm just going to lay down and die. And no, that's not why the universe put you where you are. The reason that you are there is to do something with what has happened to you. Maybe that's activism. Maybe that's voting rights. Maybe that's helping seniors. And I have to agree with you, Ginny. Had you been sipping mint juleps on the patio, the idea of spending hours and hours and hours to put together to go out and talk to the construction people, to go to City Hall and pitch this idea and get people involved so that they can, so that you can help people. I mean, think about how helpful that is going to be to other people. So would you agree that there's...
I would agree. And the truth is, and it's hard to imagine saying this, but the truth is, I'm glad it ended up on this path. Yes. You know, that would have been in a much easier life, and I probably would have still done the pet ministry, but I never would have gotten to this point. And I know this is my burning desire. This is my passion. This is my purpose. And it just makes me feel that I'm not taking space up on this planet, that I am making a contribution.
Well, and I'll give you another story. You've got a couple of minutes left. I'll give you another story because, again, the thing that you think is the worst thing is actually the thing that's going to help you if you can change your perspective. So part of the six mental faculties is perspective. You have to have the perspective to say, okay, I get it. I'm down here. So here I am trying to get to pilot training. I get offered a scholarship and I think, okay, that's perfect. I've got everything I need. I need a scholarship to get into pilot training, and they offer me a scholarship. And then they say, oh, by the way, it's a navigator scholarship. And I, the guy promised me a whole bunch of stuff. I thought, hey, this is perfect. I'm 18 years old. I signed on the dotted line. And lo and behold, he lied. And I ended up being a navigator for 6 years after I graduated from college. So that's almost a 10-year span that I was what I perceived to be stuck in the navigator field. And I finally got to pilot training, and I did really, really well in pilot training and went on for a full career flying airplanes, which is my passion, flying airplanes. What I learned looking back is if I had gone directly to pilot training from my psychology degree into a hard science program, flying is a real hard science program, yeah, I would have washed out. I would have never been a pilot in my life. So looking back, for 6 years, I'm screaming, I've been done wrong. This is that there are people that are graduated already, and I'm still not even at pilot training. But in the end, it was the thing that really made it happen for me. And I think in so many ways that what part of what we all have to do when we're taking a look at the stuff that's going on is we have to realize that whatever is happening for your greatest and highest good. And you have to start becoming aware. Stop being in the moment of this, I'm done wrong, but start to open up your mind. Sadly, I have to say that we burned up our time.
It went by like that.
I told you it was going to go by fast.
Yeah.
So, again, I want to thank Ginny. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
You know, it's an incredible story. And if you want to get a hold of Ginny, it's ginnyweissman.com. G-I-N-N-E.
Why?
G-I-N-N-Y. Well, you spell it so that I don't get it wrong.
Okay. G-I-N-N-Y. And it's G, not J. G-I-N-N-Y Weissman, W-E-I-S-S-M-A-N. And I want to leave your viewers with, instead of ever saying, why me, say, show me the miracle.
Show me the miracle. With that, I got to tell you, it's been a great day. I wish you all well. Remember to dream on, fly high, live adventurously, wash your hands for 20 seconds. Everything will be fine. This is Laura Meeks on The Laura Meeks Show. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.
Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.